of swords, villages, and economy under a coup. A oral not fic by Litra. Fandom is Samurai Jack. So, I have three major headcanons for Samurai Jack. The first starts way back with Jack's father and how the sword was made. We see Jack's dad getting tied to a tree, rescued by Slifnir, maybe? I can't remember if Slifnir is the name of the horse, but the Norse horse, Odin's mount, taken up to the mountain where the gods pull out the righteousness in his soul and turn it into a sword. What nobody comments on is the fact that he also got a spiffy suit of armor and a flying cloud. He also ran out of there rather quickly because, you know, his village was on fire. So, you know what he didn't do? Stick around for the manual. Yeah, the training manual. The how-to manual for his brand spanking new magic sword. Jack's dad saw a sword and thought, fantastic! It also comes with a suit of armor? Also fantastic! It comes with a flying cloud? Bonus points! I'm gonna go rescue my village. Now, in the very beginning, he gets all these things, and they goes and defeats a coup, and stabs a coup back into the ground, and makes the plan for if a coup is ever going to return. That's all very nice and good. The problem is, Jack is like, what, 4 when he gets shipped off when this plan isn't enacted? Great, congratulations, you got all of 4, maybe 5 years before evil rose again. Great job there. But putting that aside, he not only did he not tell Jack about the mystical properties of his sword, not only the mystical properties of, oh, by the way, your sword cannot harm an innocent, but also the magical properties of hold your sword up and chant 1 to summon armor. Hold your sword up and chant 2 to summon magic flying cloud. Hold your sword up and think really damn hard to maybe, I don't know, summon the gods? To maybe, I don't know, like, transport back in time? It would be some real Wizard of Oz BS right there if he had the ability to travel back in time strapped to his hip the whole damn time. So yeah, first headcanon, Jack, wonderful guy, absolutely great martial artist, fantastic swordsman, best there has ever been, does not actually know how to use his sword. Second headcanon is that while Jack is a great guy and all, like, he's not the only one going on this journey. At one point, for instance, he adopts what is basically a giant blue teddy bear-shaped toddler. At the end of the episode, they wander off into the sunset together. The toddler is never mentioned again. Because, not important to the story. But, nobody said that the toddler got left behind. Also, the, samurai dude, who Jack taught a lesson to at one point. Yeah. He followed Jack out into the sunset. He's still following Jack for all we know. In fact, by now, there's basically an entire village following Jack around. And to be fair, this is not as bad of an idea as it sounds. Sure, Jack goes into the wilderness. Sure, Jack climbs mountains and crosses deserts and randomly dives to the bottom of the sea. You know what else he does? Destroys all robots in his vicinity. Which, let's face it, in a world covered by Aku's robots, not a bad deal. I mean, you've got the whole, where does Jack get his food and repair his clothing and all of that? Which, you know, they would definitely help with. And half of them he has saved, like directly saved at one point or another. So they are absolutely devoted to him. And then you've got the very minor bounty hunters who are convinced that, you know, one of these days he's gonna slip up and they're just gonna walk up and, you know, take him out while he's sleeping. Yeah, totally. Any day now. Yeah. You know, maybe tomorrow. Totally. Yeah. Next week. And then you've got the people who are totally, like, banking on his fame. The, hey, Samurai Jack just went through your town. Do you want to buy a straw hat? We make straw hats. We learned how to make straw hats from watching Samurai Jack. Do you want a official Samurai Jack straw hat? We learned how to make shoes from the same guy who made Jack's shoes. Do you want some sandals? And that's not even taking into consideration the minstrels, of which there are at least four, one of whom is purely instrumental and is the one performing all the background music in Samurai Jack's TV show. Another of whom is a rapper and does the theme song for Samurai Jack. Now, these minstrels, all of whom, they absolutely adore Jack, and hell, he's making their living and making sure that they make a name for themselves because, you know, their version is the correct version. But they don't always see the battle from the same point of view or get it, the story of the battle from the same person. So they happily argue amongst themselves about which version is not only the correct artistically, but the correct version of the stories that Samurai Jack is creating. Now, Jack knows that all these people are following him. He has an entire village, heck, an entire economy, and I'll get to that in a moment, following him. But it's not their quest. They happen to be traveling along the same roads, and it's their business. He has made it very clear that this is a very dangerous situation, very dangerous places he's going to, and, well, if they choose to follow him, it is up to them. So every day he wakes up and there is a village around wherever he happens to have fallen asleep. And he's gotten used to this because, I mean, after all the things he's gone through, that is the least surprising thing that he has gotten used to. He's gotten used to time portals blowing up in his face on a regular basis. He's gotten used to Aku and all of the minions of Aku and all of the things that go along with that. People following him around? That's not that bad. That's not that surprising. It's the same people every day. I mean, it would be one thing if the people switched off every day, but it's the same people. He knows these guys. They're trustworthy. So he gets up every morning, and somebody brings him some rice, and it's nice. And then he has his morning cup of tea, and he stands up, and he says, I am going this way. You do not have to follow. And he slowly walks out of the camp that they have set up.
And everybody finishes their breakfast, packs up camp, and starts to follow him. Not directly behind him, because, you know, he's out in front, and the robots are going to attack him first. But, you know, some people walk faster than others, and then there are the dogs that follow along and run ahead, sniffing everything, and then come back. And then there are the people who are, you know, water breathers, and they happen to be going through a swamp, so they're swimming ahead and swimming back. And then there are the people who are, like, riding horses, and they're riding ahead to check out the next village and see what people are willing to trade. Oh, that's another thing. A good portion of the people following Jack, they're salvagers. They salvage all these robot parts, go bring them to the next town. The townspeople are like, yeah, sure, I could use a motivator. I'll give you a bag of rice for a couple of good motivators. Because, let's face it, anywhere Jack goes, there is going to be a surplus of robot parts. So, Jack wanders along. The village wanders along behind him. Eventually, he settles down for the night, picks a good tree or a good rock or a good whatever, settles down. Slowly, the people come up around him, settle down around him. A few people might ask how his day was, but mostly they don't talk to him much because half of them are in awe of him and the other half are bounty hunters, and all of them know that he's a quiet guy. He doesn't like to chat much. That isn't to say that Jack, like, can't talk to them. He can. And a subset of the having a village headcanon is that Jack can speak basically all languages. Not because he traveled through time, but because of his training as a kid. He grew up speaking Japanese, then got on a Chinese boat, then went to, what was it, Arabia? Then went to Africa, then went to Egypt, then went to Greece, then went to, oh, all of the places. England, France, somewhere up in Russia where he was throwing axes, back down through China. Growing up, he spoke a dozen or more languages. He gets to the future, and those languages have been mangled up. There is all kinds of new slang, all kinds of new linguistic, like, tells and dialects. But you know what? All of it stems from the core of either English, French, Japanese, Chinese, some kind of African. You know, it all stems from the same roots. And so Jack sits there, listens, pays attention, and the fact that he already knows a dozen languages only makes it easier, because once you pick up a two or three, you start learning all the others. So Jack can understand basically anyone he encounters, as long as they're not straight up alien. And even the aliens, the fact that they're coming to Aku's planet means they're going to speak one of Aku's languages, which are the same languages that Jack understands. Now, Jack's village. Jack's village does amazingly well. Not just because they are protected from all the evil robots rampaging across the countryside, or because they have a ready and reliable source of income, both in promoting Samurai Jack and in salvaging all of the robot parts, but also because they've been left alone to actually have an economy. Now, there are a lot of different cultures and economic levels on Aku's version of Earth. This is because of headcanon number 3. Aku sucks at economics. He sucks at being the government in general. He's more of a go fix it kind of boss than a what is the problem, let's find a solution kind of boss. And in fact, his only solution is, here's a robot. The robot will fix it. That's if he doesn't kill you for whatever request it is. This means that the people on this planet in general do not want to gain Aku's attention. They, in fact, will suffer the terrible drought because it's better than going to ask Aku for some extra water. Because even though he has access to all of the magic ever and can probably fix the drought with a snap of his fingers, instead of giving them a new river or helping them with bringing in some rain or whatever, they go to ask about the drought, and he's going to snap his fingers and give them a giant chainsaw robot. Because robots fix everything? Question mark, question mark, question mark? Aku likes robots. Aku, in fact, thinks robots are so much better than people. Forget slaves. Slaves need to be fed, and you have to have the slave overlords or, like, whip people and all of that. And slaves get tired and need to be fed, and they need beds, and they complain, and you can never, ever snuff out that spark of hope 100%. No, the very first robot that was ever made, which was probably made in order to attack Aku, Aku looked at it and was like, this is the solution. I have a robot. And it does whatever I say, without question, without complaint. Robots fix everything. And that's been his go-to solution from then on. Yeah. It takes him a while to learn anything new. I mean, he is kind of the result of the gods, if not one of the gods themselves. And to be fair, there's only like one thing on Earth that can hurt him. Well, a couple of things, but really, just the one thing. It's not like he has to worry about being injured on a daily basis. There's no reason for him not to monologue or do things his own way. It's not like he can starve to death. He's immortal and invulnerable. Why should he care about the, what are you complaining about today? The smog? Here, have a robot. The robot will fix it. So with Aku's economy basically being, fix it yourself, don't bother Aku, and giant robots breaking everything, Samurai Jack has managed to provide a stable situation for his followers, his mobile village, to thrive without actually doing anything. Like, they could go ask him for advice on how much the price of rice should be. But really, they don't want to bother him. He's on his spiritual quest. It would be rude to interrupt. And, well, other people are like, what would Jack say I should do? Should I go do the thing? Or should I stay here? What would Jack do? You know, Jack would go do the thing. Jack would help the person. I'm gonna help that person. Yeah, there's a whole religion built up around Jack. It's mostly a do good unto others, that kind of thing. but it also incorporates all of those weird sayings that Jack says occasionally, like, the hard shell of the oyster only covers the pearl. And everybody's like, such wisdom. What does that mean? I don't know. But it must be wise because Jack said it. Yeah, right?